Welcome, Voltron fans, to a special mini-episode of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. This is Voltron 101, a primer for all things Voltron. If you're a new fan who was introduced to Voltron through the all-new series, Voltron Legendary Defender, and you're curious about what came before, then this podcast is for you. If you're a fan from days of long ago, 1984, and you're curious about what came after, then this podcast is for you. If you're the friend or loved one of a Voltron fan, or if you can't tell Voltron from Optimus Prime, then this podcast is for you. I'm your co-host, Greg Tyler, and before we get started, I'd like to introduce our host, Mark Morrell.
Hey, Greg. So great that we can do this and just offer this to the fans. This is a wonderful thing. It's almost like going back to school.
It is. This is something that's kind of near and dear to me because, you know, we've had so many years of awesome Voltron television, 30 plus years now, and an all new series is airing as we speak with new episodes later this year. And I thought it would be great if we could step back and sort of on board fans old and new with the totality of Voltron. What are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was there for the 30th anniversary. We did a book on it. We celebrated it. You know, there were many things that we did through conventions and through everything. There was a big celebration that they had on Voltron.com, and they've still got 30th anniversary items on Voltron.com.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be here to show the new fans, or just somebody who may be a loved one of an old Voltron fan who never really found out, you know, exactly what Voltron was all about.
Yeah, so that's why we're here. You ready to get started?
I am.
All right, let's do it. So our focus will be on the various Voltron television programs. We're going to skip details about the making of these shows, and we're going to skip some of the more arcane facts about the shows. That's because our goal is to welcome as many people as possible to the entirety of the Voltron universe without overwhelming them with too much information. That's kind of hard to do.
No, it isn't.
Okay, well, it is for me, because I have a big mouth.
Well, I'm just letting you know, we've got, 71 podcast episodes that people can cruise through, and it might take, a couple of years to listen through all those, but guess what? If you start at number one and you get to number 71, you can call yourself a Voltron expert.
Yeah, and if you get through this one episode, you can call yourself at least a Voltron-educated newbie. How's that?
That sounds great. We can even provide certificates if people would like them.
Nice. Love it. So at the end of this podcast, we'll mention some ways in which you can learn much more about Voltron. But for now, let's sit back, let's relax, and let's Voltron. Before we explore the Voltron television programs, let's explain what's common among them, the basic premise. Voltron is about a group of young heroes who protect all that is good from all that is evil with the help of their incredible machines that can easily hold their own in battle. In times of great danger, these heroes can combine their machines into a super robot called Voltron. Just as the super robot Voltron is more powerful than its individual components, Voltron's pilots, when working together, comprise a whole that is far greater than the sum of its parts. In short, Voltron is fantastic sci-fi action that focuses on a very down-to-earth concept, overcoming incredible obstacles through the power of friendship and teamwork. Now that we've covered the basic premise of Voltron, let's take a look at each of the Voltron programs. On Monday, September 10th, 1984, kids of all ages were captivated with amazing sights and sounds as a new animated television series first hit airwaves. The series was called Voltron, Defender of the Universe, and it began like this.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legend grew, peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galaxy alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe. Until a new horrible menace threatened the galaxy. Voltron was needed once more. This is the story of the super force of space explorers. Specially trained and sent by the Alliance to bring back Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
The series' earliest episodes focus on the Voltron Lion Force, a team of five brave space explorers who operate five distinctly colored robot lions. Team leader Keith controls the Black Lion, the sarcastic Lance operates the Red Lion, the short, spectacled, and smart Pidge flies the Green Lion, the brawny, tough, yet soft-hearted Hunk pilots the Yellow Lion, and the pensive, noble Sven controls the Blue Lion. The space explorers discover the lions on a planet called Eris, a planet that had been devastated and its population decimated by prolonged conflict with the forces of the evil King Zarkon of Planet Doom. Among the casualties of this conflict was Planet Eris's king, Alfor, leaving his daughter, Princess Allura, the only surviving member of the royal family. As the forces of Planet Doom, Zarkon, Witch Hagar, and eventually Zarkon's son, Prince Lotor, continue their attacks on Eris and other planets in the far universe, the Voltron Force defend the innocent using their mighty lions. Often Zarkon would send a Robeast, an enormous, magic-enhanced mechanical monster, and to defeat it, the Voltron Force would combine their lions into Voltron. Soon after the series begins, Blue Lion pilot Sven is seriously injured during a skirmish with Hagar. Sven is taken to the planet Ebb in order to heal, and Princess Allura succeeds him as pilot of the Blue Lion. As the Lion Force story progresses, Zarkon becomes an even more dangerous threat. Prince Lotor becomes increasingly obsessed with marrying the unwilling Princess Allura, and the Voltron Force continues to fight on behalf of the good people whom Zarkon seeks to conquer. What are your thoughts on the Lion Force?
I want you to know I love the Lion Force because of their ties to the lions and the lions' ties to the elements. So the lions all have their own dens that they stay in, and they're divided up by their elements. So Green Lion is in the forest, Yellow Lion is in the earth, Red Lion is in like a volcano near lava, and Blue Lion is in the water, and then Black Lion sits in a statue that is right in front of the castle.
It's basically a lightning rod.
Right, and Black Lion is meant to represent the element of, I guess, sky or space.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so we have space, water, earth, fire.
And wind.
Wind would be Green Lion, right?
Right.
There you go. I liked how the lions all represent the elements.
Yeah, I do too. I think that kind of gives it a fusion of nature and technology that's pretty unique in a medium like this. As the Voltron Lion Force defends the far universe, the near universe is protected by another group of space explorers, the Voltron Vehicle Team. The Vehicle Team episodes of Voltron Defender of the Universe begin like this.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, Defender of the Universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legend grew, peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galaxy alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe. Until a new horrible menace threatened the galaxy. Voltron was needed once more. This is the story of the super force of space explorers. Entrusted by the Alliance with the ancient secret of how to assemble Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
The Voltron vehicle team is assigned to the stellar ship Explorer, which explores the universe in search of knowledge, new allies, and habitable planets on which people of the overcrowded planets of the benevolent Galaxy Alliance can settle and establish new homes. The Voltron vehicle team's 15 members are divided equally into three sub-teams: the air team, led by hot-headed Voltron Force Captain Jeff, the sea team, led by the insightful alien Crick, and the land team, led by the level-headed geologist Cliff. Each team member operates an advanced, combat-ready exploration vehicle. An additional function of this Voltron force is defense against the attacks of the Drool Empire, a militaristic force that seeks to dominate the universe. Like Zarkon, the Drools often use their own Robeasts in their offensives against the Explorer and its allies. To protect the Explorer and the Galaxy Alliance, the Voltron vehicle team can combine the 15 vehicles into an entirely different Voltron. As the vehicle team story progresses, the Drools discover that their obsession with war is destroying their own home planet. While Drool leaders stubbornly and relentlessly escalate their campaign against the Galaxy Alliance, Commander Hazar eventually goes rogue and pursues peace with the Galaxy Alliance in order to save his people from the imminent destruction of his home world. Unfortunately, the peace-seeking efforts of Hazar and the Voltron Force are repeatedly thwarted by ongoing battles between the Drool military and the Galaxy Alliance. What do you think about the vehicle team?
The vehicle team is on a completely different plane than the Lion Force team.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a bunch of space explorers that are truly space explorers because they're trying to find another compatible planet for their own home planet.
Right.
And by doing so, they have to go out into space in this explorer ship, and they have to determine if there's another suitable planet that has the same type of atmosphere and everything. But at the same time, they are confronted by the Drools.
Right.
And in doing so, they need to have some type of defense. And their defense is a Voltron that comes together from 15 different vehicles.
Yeah, it looks entirely different than the Lion version.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people used to call this the car Voltron. It's not really the car Voltron. So it's a Voltron that comes together from air, land, and sea vehicles.
Right. I happen to have a soft spot for this show. These episodes, as earlier podcast episodes will attest.
If people need something to compare it to, you know, I always said the second season of Buck Rogers, you know, was, to me, when they went out in the Searcher.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very much reminiscent of Vehicle Voltron Force.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
The only thing they didn't have was, you know, 15 vehicles coming together to form a giant robot. That would have made it cool.
Yeah, and they didn't have Tweaky. Well, Voltron didn't have Tweaky.
Yeah.
Voltron Defender of the Universe consists of 125 episodes. That's a lot. 72 episodes feature the Voltron Lion Force, 52 episodes feature the Voltron Vehicle Team, and the final adventure, Fleet of Doom, features the Lion Force and Vehicle Team fighting side by side against the combined forces of King Zarkon and the Drool Empire. Among television viewers, the Lion Force characters and robot proved to be much more popular than their vehicle team counterparts, to the point that the vehicle team has not yet been featured in any subsequently produced Voltron television program. Although most fans of Voltron Defender of the Universe didn't know it at the time, Voltron was produced using animation from two unrelated anime programs. Voltron's vehicle team episodes were based on Armored Fleet Dirugger 15, and the first 52 Lion Force episodes of Voltron were based on Beast King Golion. The remaining episodes were animated specifically for Voltron. The Golion and Dirugger programs included violent content that Voltron's producers thought to be inappropriate for children's animation, so the material had to be heavily edited for Voltron. Perhaps the most notable plot difference between Voltron and the original anime programs is the fate of original Blue Lion pilot Sven. In Voltron, Sven survives his battle with Hagar and eventually falls in love. In Beast King Golion, Sven is called Takashi Shirogane, and he dies as the result of his wounds from his battle with the witch called Honerva. Some other differences between Voltron and the original anime are in names of planets. For example, in Voltron, Allura rules planet Eris, and King Zarkon controls planet Doom. In Beast King Go Lion, the princess, named Fala, rules planet Altea, and the emperor, named Divazol, controls planet Galra. You getting all this?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit of a shotgun of terms. But the point is that Voltron was adapted from two independent programs, and some names were changed to sound, I assume, a bit more anglicized. The core plots are basically the same, but the material has been edited to be more suitable toward American children. So that's, I'd say, the fundamental differences. The final episode of Voltron Defender of the Universe first aired in 1986, but in 1997, some of the episodes, the 20 Lion Force episodes that weren't adapted from Beast King Go Lion, were repackaged as an entirely different series called The New Adventures of Voltron. This series, which is rarely seen today, has a flashy computer-animated opening that gave its viewers a glimpse at what the next Voltron television series would be like. So, Mark, what are your overall thoughts on the original series and the anime that inspired it?
You're talking about programs that came from Toei Animation, which were actually produced in the early 80s.
Right.
A lot of that stuff is very, you know, primitive to today's standards. But, you know, the animation was clean and crisp at the time, and Voltron was still one of the first shows to do stereo.
Right.
Stereo audio. So that was something that made it a little bit better than most shows at the time.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it also came out in a daily format.
That's true.
Right.
It aired 5 episodes per week in weekday afternoon syndication.
Right. So kids got excited about coming home from school and being able to see Voltron. And then in some other markets, maybe they only got to see it in the mornings or on the weekends. But you know, for most markets, it was there in the afternoons for kids.
Yeah, I loved coming home to watch Voltron. It was, gosh, it was so much fun. On Saturday, September 12th, 1998, Voltron the Third Dimension premiered. This series is a quasi-sequel to the original Voltron program. Many of the recurring characters from the Lion Force episodes of Voltron Defender of the Universe are featured in this series, and 4 of the original show's voice cast members reprise many of their key roles in this series. The story begins about 5 years after a pivotal battle between the Voltron Force and Prince Lotor. Lotor had been severely injured during that battle, and his scarred body had to be augmented with cybernetic components in order to survive. The Voltron Force had disbanded and moved on with their lives. Zarkon had reformed and become Minister of Peace of the Galaxy Alliance. Hagar had disappeared, and the Galaxy Alliance's 900 member worlds had entrusted governing duties to a robot called Amalgamus. Episodes of Voltron the Third Dimension begin like this.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, a mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legend grew, peace settled across the galaxy. But then the evil Prince Lotor escaped from his prison in deep space. He formed a secret alliance with Hagar, mistress of dark magic, and together they summoned awesome forces of fear and destruction, threatening the universe with new, horrible menaces. Voltron was needed once again. Now comes the story of a super force of space explorers, specially trained and sent by the highest echelon of the Galaxy Alliance to bring back Voltron. This is Voltron, the Third Dimension.
Voltron the Third Dimension looks much different than its predecessor. Instead of traditional cell-based animation, the Third Dimension incorporates 3D-based computer-generated imagery, or CGI. The animation was cutting-edge for its time, but it looks dated today. What are your thoughts about the look of Voltron the Third Dimension?
Well, obviously, there was only one other show that had done this type of imagery even before Voltron the Third Dimension, and that was Transformers Beast Wars.
Right.
And I had liked Beast Wars, so I had thought we were going to see something very similar to that for Voltron. What I wasn't expecting was just how stiff everything was at the time. I mean, it was very expensive to do computer animation at the time. And to even do something like to see flowing robes or something like that was unheard of with this type of animation.
Right. And it definitely affected the look. But if you can see beyond the look, I think the stories were a lot of fun.
I thought the stories were great because it taught me some of the most important things about these characters that I didn't really get from the other show. This show was made, from the ground up, and the story was made from the ground up. So we got more backstory on each of these characters. We found out how strong these characters were. So characters like Keith and Allura and everything, I didn't really get to know them as well in the original series, but in this series, I got to know them very well.
Yeah, I agree. In the first episode, Lotor escapes from a high-security prison, reconnecting with Hagar and resuming his attacks against the Galaxy Alliance. The Voltron Force reunites in order to stop him. As the story progresses, the Voltron Force often finds its hands tied due to Amalgamus's reluctance to use the Lions, thinking it will cause unrest within the Alliance. Princess Allura learns more about the origins of the Voltron Lions. Eventually, the Voltron Force has to save the entire Galaxy Alliance from Lotor, Hagar, and an ally who turns out to be less than trustworthy. Although Voltron the Third Dimension seems to be the least popular Voltron program among fans, it is entertaining and it deserves more consideration than it often receives. The 26th and final episode of Voltron the Third Dimension aired in February 2000. 11 years later, Voltron was needed once more. On Thursday, June 16th, 2011, Voltron Force premiered. Like Voltron the Third Dimension, but unrelated to that show, Voltron Force is another quasi-sequel to the original Voltron program. Many of the recurring characters from the Lion Force episodes of Voltron Defender of the Universe are featured in this series, although they are performed by different voice actors. The story begins several years after a pivotal battle between the Voltron Force and Lotor, now King of Planet Doom. Lotor was killed during the battle, and Hagar had disappeared. During a victory celebration on Earth, the Voltron Lions, minus their pilots, had inexplicably attacked a city, forcing Sky Marshal Wade of the Galaxy Alliance to lock up the Lions. The Voltron Force then disbanded and moved on with their lives. Episodes of Voltron Force begin like this.
Evil is back. The Drool King Lotor has returned with a dark energy that can destroy the galaxy. Our only hope? The Voltron Force, a team of 5 heroic pilots that control 5 awesome robot lions. When Lotor's monstrous robot beasts attack, the lions come together to form Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
In the first feature-length episode, Lotor is brought back to life by a mysterious occult scientist called Mayhox. Now infused with a dark energy called Hagarium, Lotor poses an even greater threat to the Galaxy Alliance than before, forcing the Voltron Force to disobey Sky Marshal Wade and reactivate the Voltron Lions. The Voltron pilots also take on 3 cadets. The impulsive Daniel, who dreams of piloting Black Lion and leading the Voltron Force, Vince, an intellectual but reluctant hero, and Princess Larmina, niece of Allura, who is highly skilled in hand-to-hand combat. Each Voltron Force, pilot and cadet, has a Voltcom, a gauntlet that can generate weapons catered to its wearer, as well as unlock long-hidden capabilities of Voltron, such as the ability of any of the 5 lions to form Voltron's torso and head, giving Voltron powers that are specific to the center lion. As the Voltron Force story progresses, Lotor and Mayhox escalate their attacks, Sky Marshal Wade is revealed to be obsessed with power, Mayhox is found to have his own evil motives, and the 3 Voltron Force cadets learn what it takes to be Voltron pilots. The 24th and final episode of Voltron Force aired in April 2012. I should clarify that, depending on how you count episodes, this series consists of 24 or 26 episodes. The series was produced as 26 half-hour episodes, but when the show premiered, the first three episodes were edited into a single feature-length story. So if you count the feature-length story as one episode, this series has 24 episodes. But if you count each half-hour installment, the series has 26 episodes. The series ended with a cliffhanger that has not been fully resolved, although a brief continuation of the plot is depicted in comic book form as the epilogue of a book called Voltron from Days of Long Ago, a 30th anniversary celebration. Let's Voltron podcast host Mark Morrell was a co-author of that book, so check it out. Mark, what was your experience like putting together that your portion of the book?
Well, I have to tell you that I had to go back to the very beginning, like we're doing in this Voltron 101, and I had to, you know, do interviews with some of the original writers, directors, producers of the show, and also some of the voice actors. So in doing so, it brought a new light on how exactly did Voltron become this worldwide phenomenon that had started in a little office in St. Louis and then, you know, developed into this show that took on He-Man and Transformers and all those other shows of the time and was number one in its market. So in order for me to bring that all together into the book, I had to not only go through the original show, but I also had to go through the subsequent shows, you know, Voltron the Third Dimension and Voltron Force.
Right.
And in you know, reviewing Voltron Force, that's basically how I got started with getting involved with the Voltron community and everything. It was because of Voltron Force. I started writing episode reviews on Toon Barn.
Right, right.
That developed into doing interviews with the people from World Events Productions, the owners of Voltron. And then that developed into going to the Comic-Cons and everything. And that's where, you know, I was asked to do the introduction to the book.
That's cool.
So all of that coming together, you know, you want to do it right because we're talking about Voltron fans here, and Voltron fans deserve the best.
Yeah, they do.
So and, you got to get it right, and that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to give you all the facts and, you know, a little bit of our own conjecture and everything about why things may have turned out the way they turned out.
Yeah. Gosh, I can say personally that Voltron Force was very important to my interest in the franchise, because while I was a huge fan of the original show and I got up early on Saturdays to watch The Third Dimension, it was Voltron Force that reignited my interest in the property as an adult. And that led through a series of events to me appearing on the podcast here as a guest, a recurring guest seemingly, and then ultimately joining it as a co-host. So Voltron Force was big for me as well.
One very important piece that the book brought to the fans was a little bit of closure for Voltron Force, because that epilogue at the end that has the comic book that shows what had happened after the end of episode 26, you know, where Daniel is still infected with the Hegarium. There were a lot of people that had wondered what was going to happen in season two, and nobody ever got season two.
Right.
So for them, this was closure. This was the ability to say, oh, I see where it was going to head. I see what was going to happen now.
Yeah.
And if you still haven't found out, you know, how the whole Voltron Force was going to go, go check out the book.
Yeah. And if you like Voltron at all, check the book out. I look at my copy almost daily. Love it. With 12 years between the end of Voltron Defender of the Universe and the start of Voltron the Third Dimension, and 11 years between the end of Voltron the Third Dimension and the start of Voltron Force, one might have surmised that another Voltron television series wouldn't debut until the mid-2020s. Fortunately, this time, Voltron was needed much sooner. On Friday, June 10th, 2016, Voltron Legendary Defender premiered, with the entire 11-episode first season being made available exclusively on Netflix. This series is an overt reboot of the Lion Force Voltron concept from Voltron Defender of the Universe. The series showrunners have strived to make this new series as fun and entertaining as what longtime fans remember having watched over 30 years before. The characters were redesigned, but they were made to look similar enough to the original designs that they'd pass a squint test. If you looked at the screen and squinted your eyes, you get a look that is very reminiscent of what you got in the 80s. Glance, the story begins much as Voltron Defender of the Universe does. A team of five brave space explorers find themselves becoming pilots of five distinctly colored robot lions. Some of the lion pilot assignments are different in this series. Although, as before, Pidge flies the green lion and Hunk pilots the yellow lion, Keith now controls the red lion and Lance operates the blue lion. The Black Lion is now piloted by Shiro, the team leader, who is named after Takashi Shirogane from Beast King Go Lion, called Sven in Voltron Defender of the Universe. As in previous Voltron programs, the Lion pilots, called Paladins in this series, can combine the Lions to form Voltron. The Paladins are assisted by Princess Allura and her advisor, Karan. Their opponents are Emperor Zarkon, Witch Hagar, and the Galra Empire. Beyond the obvious similarities between Voltron Legendary Defender and Voltron Defender of the Universe, the two series are quite different. Most of the characters in the new series have compelling backstories and/or specific motivations that add depth and interest. 1 year before the events of the first episode, Shiro and Pidge's father and brother had been exploring a moon of Pluto when they were abducted by the Galra. In the first episode, Shiro mysteriously returns to Earth with no memory of how he escaped the Galra, but Pidge's family remains missing. When the future Voltron Paladins discover Princess Allura and Karan, the pair had been in suspended animation for 10,000 years, during which time Zarkon had destroyed Altea, their planet, and expanded his empire. Keith and Lance have a standing rivalry, and Pidge has a secret identity of sorts. Zarkon seeks not to destroy Voltron, but instead to capture it. Voltron Legendary Defender is a return to the original Voltron concept, with modern storytelling sensibilities, rich characterizations, high action, and top-notch writing and production values. As of this recording in September 2016, only the series' 11-episode first season has been released on Netflix, but a second season is expected for later this year. And that's an overview of the Voltron television programs. Let's talk about how you can watch these episodes today. For Voltron Legendary Defender, Netflix is the place to go. All 11 episodes are available streaming on Netflix. For the earlier programs, the first place to look is the official Voltron YouTube channel. The URL is youtube.com/user/WEP. As of this recording, you can watch, for free, from Voltron Defender of the Universe, Lion Force episodes 1 through 15, plus episode 50, I'm not sure why they're scattered like that, Vehicle Team episodes 6 through 10, episodes 1 through 5 of Voltron the Third Dimension, for Voltron Force episodes 1, 6 through 10, 21 and 23, again kind of an odd mix, and for Beast King Go Lion episodes 1 through 10. If you're willing to spend a little money, then check out Amazon Video or iTunes. As of this recording, you can find all of the Lion Force episodes of Voltron Defender of the Universe, as well as all episodes of Voltron the Third Dimension. Voltron Force occasionally shows up on Netflix, although it's not available there as of this recording. You can find all of Voltron Defender of the Universe, Beast King Go Lion, and Armored Fleet Dirugger 15 on out-of-print DVD. Most volumes are still reasonably priced, but a handful are a bit pricey today. Voltron Force is available on out-of-print Region 4 DVD. That's Australia. If you're looking for more detailed information about Voltron, then we invite you to listen to the other episodes of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. We go pretty deeply around here, don't we, Mark?
Yes, we do.
We do, and have a great time doing it.
Yes, we have.
As we previously mentioned, there's also an excellent book that was published in 2014 called Voltron, From Days of Long Ago, a 30th Anniversary Celebration. We'll post links to these resources, as well as some of our favorite Voltron fan websites, on the Let's Voltron website, letsvoltron.com. So, Mark, what are your thoughts about Voltron 101?
I think this is an excellent start for those fans who didn't know as much as they wanted to know about Voltron, but didn't have the time to really get deep into it. And this really only takes about like 20 minutes, right?
We'll see. I think it ran a little longer than I hoped.
But, okay, well, yeah. If I was to tell you that you could get a really good high-level view of everything Voltron in about a half an hour, would that be a good thing to go through?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So for the length of one episode of Voltron, you learn about all of Voltron.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that fans who are new to Voltron will get something out of this, and fans from 1984 also will. So
those people who lived through the 84 series and all the subsequent series can use this to teach it to their kids.
Good point. Let's keep this Voltron thing going for another 30 years and more.
Right. Let's all get all the new generations loving Voltron.
Yeah. So I think that's all we have for this episode. I wanted to keep it short and sweet. And Mark, thank you so much for taking my normal role as sort of the co-host of this particular episode.
This was fun. I can't wait for Voltron 102.
Yeah, we're going to do that at some point. I think we're going to dive a little more deeply into some of the nitty-gritty details. For example, what are Voltron 1, 2, and 3? Some of you fans, even from 1984, might not know the answer to that question. We'll loop you in on that and plenty of other things. In the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this Voltron 101 mini episode of the podcast. We'll see you next time on
Let's Voltron.